our prayer. Our blessed eternal Father, we come to your presence with hearts full of gratitude and appreciation, praises and honor. It's because you have spared our lives to be in your house, to see ourselves again. We thank you for your cares this first week over every one of us. Thank you for your blessings upon us on Sunday, the great and mighty things you did in the lives of your people. Thank you for the word of life that you have sent to us. We are grateful for what this word is doing, washing and cleansing us. Heavenly Father, we are grateful. Thank you for meeting our needs, your protection, guardians. We are here again after the activities of the day, set at your feet, as you are bidding us to come for Wednesday prayer meeting. We are here, Lord, to fellowship with you by way of hearing your word and by way of talking to you in a prayer, the channel that you have made for us to talk to you. We are grateful. We stand before you this moment, asking that your mercy will speak for every one of us. The Lord, the enemy will not succeed in pointing a crooked finger at all. Our lives before you, that your blood, Father, will speak better things on our behalf than the blood of Abel. Give us one time of fellowship, that Lord, you will plant your love deeper in our heart than we have known before we came here. And that, Lord, you will speak to our hearts. Your spirit will minister to our heart. You increase your faith in our heart. You draw us closer to you. You break the yokes and the bands of the enemy in our lives. You will lift us up and give us complete and total deliverance by the power of the blood, in the name of Jesus Christ. Let it be at the end of the day your name will be glorified. Inspire us, Lord, in the prayer session, where we pray, Lord, that you will, Lord, Master, have your way. While we commit our brothers or sisters that are still on the way to your hand, perhaps in that by the rain, pray you make a way for them. Thank you, Master. At the end of the service, let's all have testimony like those coming from Himeos, that did our hearts not burn. Lord, why talk to us along the way? Let it be eternal, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Praise be to God. I want to thank the Lord for another privilege of seeing ourselves again. Thank you for your prayers for me. Appreciate. God bless you. Thanks for those who call and I was up. God bless you. I appreciate. I bring it in from Abuja, the pastor and the brethren. Many of our people that you know, they send their greetings. The sister and brother Legbele, Bro Amos and his family, Dominion and his family, sister Folusho, Ni, Obadari, and her family send their greetings. God bless you. Now, there are many other people that I'm not used to, especially their name, so they send their greetings as well. So greeting from the entire church. God bless you. God bless you. I'm happy coming back home. The Lord bless you. Let's open our Bible to Hebrews chapter 4 for a little fellowship this evening. Hebrews chapter 4. We're going to read verses 12 and 13, and then we will read James chapter 4, verse 1 to 3. Chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. James chapter 4. From verse 1 to 3. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. The Lord bless the reading, the hearing of his word. Our hearts, you can please be seated. These two places we read, they are the word of the Lord talking to us. Hebrew tells us that God knows the reins and the intents of our hearts. The Lord is just like Jeremiah also makes us to know that it is God that searches the reins and the hearts of men. And so, reading this, just came to my mind to speak on the little topic, motives and objectives. Motives and objectives. Knowing fully well that we are humans, and I may have a motive, or that may be inordinate. I may have an objective that may not altogether be right in God's sight, but you don't know. You will not know. If I have an objective that is wrong, if I have a motive that is wrong, I may present it that my motive is correct. But it's only God that knows it. And so, because who we are dealing with, according to Hebrews chapter 4, is not a human being, it's the Almighty God. Who, before we were born here, before we make any request, before any thought comes to our mind, he knows what thought is coming. And so, there is no hiding from him. No way of hiding from him. And that is what verse 13 says in Hebrews chapter 4. He says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And that's God that we have something to do with. It's the one we relate to it. Everything about us, he knows it. So there is, if we present a motive, and the reason why the prophet has to talk about our motives being right, because our motives can be wrong. Our objectives can be wrong. And if our motives and objectives are wrong, then God is not happy with us. Because God has his own standard. And that is what James is also saying in chapter 4 that we also read. He said, you ask, you do not receive, because you ask to consume it upon your lust. Wrong motive. Wrong objective. He said, because you have wrong motive, you have wrong objective, you ask and you don't receive. Why? Because God is the one that looks at your motive. The very reason you are asking for this, the very reason you are asking for this, God understands it beyond the scope of man. And because he sees it, even before you open your mouth, he's just watching. And for us to get our requests, to get our desires from him, we've got to look at our motives and our objectives. They have to line up with his will. Praise be to God. Let me pick from these quotations that the prophet gave us here. A number of them. So we just draw lessons from them. Reading from Question and Answer,
Somebody was asking the prophet about gifts. How do you identify the will of God for your life and things like that? The program then went further to answer the question. COD 610112. COD 610112. So you get it. Other paragraph, let's start reading from paragraph 25. Let's start reading from paragraph 25. All right, let's, 25 will be too much. Let's pick from 26. 26. All right. Now, I have about four questions here. That's on one piece of paper, and I number them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 10, and down like that. And as soon as I go through them, then I will jump into those there. The question says, question 107, Brother Abraham, if these questions are out of line, then just disregard them, and I won't feel bad about it, for I will know it was not the hand of the Lord. Question number 1, Brother Abraham, I've heard you I've heard you say I should be back in the ministry. And I have thought upon it myself, but I have waited upon some definitely word from him about it. Up to date, it hasn't come. Now, since I know the end is so near, should I still wait for the Lord Jesus to speak to me? Or will he be pleased to tell you what to tell me, since I know you are his spokesman for this day? Where now, brother? I got wrote down here my answer to it. God calling this brother. He called in life. Now, there's one great thing. We could just take that as a text and preach all night on it. See, that one thing, the calling. Make your calling and election sure. See, we don't want to be just wondering if we are called. You must be called or you'll be defeated. We are fighting a battle, see, and if you are positive, sure, brother, that your calling is of God and you've been called of God to do a work. Now, there's a great trick there that the enemy can play on you. It can make you think you are not called when you are called. Then it turns around and make think you are not called, or make you think you are called when you are not called. Vice versa. Either way. And you have to watch it. You see it? Somebody who does not have genuine call, the devil can make them to feel they have a call. And they will enter the ministry. And they'll be preaching. To the surprise of everybody, there may be manifestations. And somebody that is truly called, that will tell you that better sit there, you are not called. So, the prophet was trying to get this. Now, here is the way to do it. Find out where. Now, this is advice. Only thing I can give on this is advice. Abraham will not tell the brother, you are called, go and be preaching. Because he told us there are three things you don't tell people. You can't tell a man that he has a call. You can't tell him this is his wife. Neither can you confirm that now I know you have received Holy Ghost. The prophet said, I believe you have Holy Ghost, but I cannot swear to it. So the prophet could not tell the brother. He has to slug it out by himself. Because it's a responsibility that is taken. And the prophet told us that if you enter into an office, you are invited to come and work in an office, and you enter there, and then you go and sit down somewhere. You don't know what you are to do. The person will say, what are you doing here? Did I not employ you to do something? The prophet said, that's why you have to go and meet God. Why did you put me here on the face of the earth? What am I supposed to do here? And if he put you here to do something, won't he reveal to you what he wants you to do? He will. Now, here is the way to do it. Find out first. Well, now, this is advice. Only thing I can give on this is advice. See? But make sure that your calling comes from God. And then check your motives and objectives. Those two things are important. Why are you coming? If you say God is calling you, why are you coming into the ministry? Is it because a few things that the prophet talked about here? Let's look at them. But make sure that your calling comes from God, and then check your motives and objectives. See, now you know what I mean by that. What is your motive for preaching? Was it just, do you think it was an easier job than what you have? That is very easy. The job I'm doing is very tedious. If I enter into the ministry, it will be easier for me. If I begin to preach, it will be an easy thing for me. That's what the prophet is saying. Do you think it was an easier job than what you have? Then you better forget it. It wasn't a call. A call of God burns so in your heart you can't rest day and night for it. You just can't get away from it. It's just constantly grinding at you. And if you had to preach, you say, well, now, another objective. I believe at the job I got, if I could be a successful evangelist or a pastor, have a good set salary, have a home, that's monetary motive. Hey, if I enter the ministry, I will have money. And that's another wrong motive of entering into the ministry. It has to be that God is the one calling you to come and do something. And it does not have anything attached to it. It's basically a responsibility. And not just, I believe at the job I have got, if I could be a successful evangelist or a pastor, have a good set salary, have a home that I could go into, and so forth, and live, then I believe that would be a good thing. Much easier than what I am doing now. And really, I think it will be. Now, see, your objective is wrong to begin with. See, it is not right. You are wrong there on that. You see? Then you say, well, maybe because that I am, think maybe that I will be more popular among the people. See, you will find out you are just ready for a big flop. Really, see? But now, if your objective is that I don't care if I have to eat soda crackers and drink branch water, I'll preach the gospel anyhow. Something just tearing into you. I will either preach the gospel or die. See, then you go somewhere. You will go somewhere because it is God dealing with you. God is making himself known to you because it is God just won't let you rest. And usually, a God-called man never wants to do it. I have never seen anyone that God calls, he will first of all shy away. It is God that will now start to deal with him. Then something begins to, then that's when they begin now to think. Sometimes he has to face a lot of things before he will now surrender himself. That's what the prophet is saying here. A God-called man never wants to do it because they understand what it is, that it is a responsibility. It's not just to be popular among the people. It's not just to a means of additional income or something else. Not. Just recently, it was asked of me by some very precious brethren and said, now that we have come into that one is all right. Let's leave that out because our time is up. Now, here is another one. Brother was talking about there was a time that he had a vision that there was oil site in a particular location. And Brother Bram tried to talk to some brethren. And, their approach to it was not verified. Let us see what the prophet says about that. I have heard, but now I see. 65:11:27. I have heard, but now I see. Paragraph 58, starting. Someone come not long ago, a group of men, some of them listening in tonight, and told me and said, I kept telling them, go to Kentucky. Oil is down there. I know it was. I saw it in a vision. Well, Brother Demons and them didn't go for a long time. After a while, finally, they said, after Texas had moving, and they said, now we are going. We are going down. I said, you ought to have gone a long time ago. But they didn't do it. Demons say, I made a great mistake in that, but not doing that, Brother Abraham. I say, if you have gone down there, you will have had it all. Where? They will not listen to it. Then before we left that night, the place where we were having lunch, the Holy Spirit showed me a great crack in the hearth. And that was full of oil. And these overflows in Kentucky were just little beds of oil that they were pumping from. But this one come from the mainstream. I said, Brother Reckonan, it's there. So they went to searching for it. Said, go down and tell us where the oil well is. I said, oh no. No, no. They asked Brother Abraham to follow him. I go and show them. Brother Abraham said, no, go and look for it. See, don't use the gift of God for commercial. No, no. He could tell me where it was at, but I don't have any need of it. Somebody will say, Abraham, why don't you tell them? Since you don't need it, why don't you tell them to go there? Abraham understands better than anybody. Remember, he is a prophet. He understands better. I wouldn't even, but I don't have any need of it. I wouldn't even have faith enough to ask him to show me. You see, that's what the prophet is saying. See, if I had a need of it, I believe if I will ask him, he will tell me. But first, you see, your motives and objectives have to be right. Why do you want it? You have to have reasons for this. God doesn't give you those things just because you ask. And you cannot ask in faith unless there is a real objective to that. In all our requests, in all that we are placing before God, there must be real objective. Why are you asking for it? Is it that they promise it? Or is it because of this, because of any other reason apart from his promise? All right. But first, your motive and objectives have to be right. You have to have reasons for this. God doesn't give you those things just because you ask. And you cannot ask in faith unless there is a real objective to that. In other words, when there is a real objective, you will have faith in asking. Because you will know that God also knows your objective is right. That will bring faith. To be in the will of God, objective to that, to be in the will of God. See, if you want to be well, what do you want to be well for? See, if you want to be healed, what is the reason you want to be healed? What are you telling God? What do you want to do with your life when you get healed? See, you've got to have a motive and objectives, and they have to be right according to the will of God. What's the will of God? The word of God. His word has promised. This is what I want. You promise this in your word. This is what I want. Like one time when we're preaching on the sermon, expectations. Abraham said, Simeon had the right to expect what God said because God gave him a promise. So, and from the scripture, we realize that all our expectations are based upon the promises of God. We're expecting to travel and come back safely because he promised that I will preserve your going and your coming. Is that not? That's what he promised in his word. So his promise gives us expectation. I will supply your need according to my riches in glory in Christ Jesus. We are expecting him to bless us because he made a promise. Now when we are not expecting him to bless us, why do we now, what do we want to use that provision for? That is where our objective, we have to be checked. We have to be placed side by side with the will of God. What is it for? Is it to get it and go and be drinking, to go and do it and go and be flirting, to get it and go and be wasting money and do every other day and lavish the money and spend it on your own when there is a triangle for the family? All right. And they have... Where am I? All right. See, if you want to be well, yeah. What do you want to do with your life when you get healed? See,
there's got to be, you got to have a motive and objective, and they have to be right according to the will of God. And that's when the faith is revealed to you. And God, by His sovereign grace, places that faith in there, then it is over. When your objective is correct, when your motive is right, with what you are asking God for, nothing is going to hinder it. That's what the prophet is saying here. Then you will have faith. That faith will be strong. Because I am asking on the basis of God's word, and my objective cannot be questioned. And then, when faith is revealed to you, and God by His sovereign grace places that faith in there, then it is over. Now, to make that word true, what the narrative Brabham was giving us about the oil, to make that narrative, to make that word true, when the brethren got down there, one fellow went over and bought a bunch of stuff and sold leases and cheated the other one this way. I said, you see, it won't work. Now, just to make the prophecy sure, within 100 years of where these men were digging their well, some man struck the big gusher. Another man that is not even part of the camp. To prove to them that the oil was there, where Abraham was saying, somebody went and played cricket. His motive, what he did, his motive was right. He wanted to hedge others out. And at the end of the day, you don't get anything. The other man that was by their side, how many years away? 100 years away. The man hit the gusher. You know what the gusher is? The resource coming out, flowing with high volume. And it is there, 1,100 barrel of oil in half a day. You see? Or something or other like that. Still putting it out right in that ministry. But just to make the prophecy, the word that had been said, that it was there, it was there. The rest of them nearly all dried up when that man began to get it. So the little one that they are gathering around here was drying off because of that gusher. They will have been the one to hit the gusher. Everywhere took it. Little ponds, they pump them a little while, they go. It's only the overflow from the sea. But because of the selfishness got among it, the objectives was wrong. Signing up a bunch of stuff, it won't be this way. When they promised they would do it for the kingdom of God, but look, it is for themselves. To God's glory, it will be to God's glory. We are going to get it for God. We are going to get it for this. When we get it, it's going to be like this. At the end of the day, God sees the motive and the objectives. That is, they are just saying it with their mouth, not from the heart. Because God is the one that understands that. That's why they lost it. And it don't work. No selfish thing will work. Your motives and objectives have to be exactly perfectly right. Then you have faith to ask. You see, if our hearts condemn us not, then we have confidence. See, you got to have confidence. I want this to be the honor or glory of God. Then faith has a channel to move into it. If it doesn't, then you got mental, intellectual faith. And not genuine faith from God. That intellectual faith will get you nowhere. Might get you emotional, but it won't get you the healing that you are looking for. Praise be to God. All right, let's look at Anna from the Sermon Desperation. Paragraph 98, Desperation. Are you there? Anna, a barren woman in the Bible, she wanted her son and she got to fasting for him. Desperation, all right. And she got to fasting for him. And she fasted and prayed until even the priest at the temple thought she was drunk. So in such desperation, with the rest of the women watching what kind of a bonnet the other one had worn, It was in their convention, as we call it here. No. And you know how it goes. And the other ones seeing what kind of a cloth they had on and talking about the things going on the farm, but not Anna. She stepped right through the whole crowd and went to the altar. She had been fasting. She wanted her reproach taken away. What a difference it is today. It's almost a reproach to have a child. It was a reproach not to have one then. Today, now they don't want their shape to change. They want to maintain their shape. And she got on her knees. And she never noticed the dignity of the temple. She never noticed the dignified priest as he walked out. She was in such distress till her tears were rolling down her cheeks. And she was crying in desperation. Oh Lord God, give me a son. Give me a son. And notice, she wasn't selfish. She wasn't selfish. When God had her and answered her prayer and gave her his son, she gave him back to God. Because that is what she prayed for. That's how she presented her request before God. If you give me this child, I will return this child to you. This boy will live in your house forever. 1 Samuel chapter 1 is there. He gave her a prophet. She gave him back to God. And because that she was willing not to be selfish after God had answered her prayer, he gave her a prophet. Oh, that was an extra blessing. Oh, he's just full of them. Those little extra things that he gives. Not only a son, but a prophet. Because her motive was not wrong. She acts according to the will of God. Now, look at the emphasis the prophet was mentioning there. It was God that said that none of you shall be buried in my house. Every seed of Abraham. She has a promise to stand on. Isn't it? She has a promise to stand on. But still, a motive. That's what the prophet was emphasizing. She has a right to go to God and say, I'm daughter of Abraham. You have said that I'm not supposed to be buried. Here I am. But for what motive? Was it because of this, of that, or this, or that? So that this my rival. She will also know. She will also know that I also have a child. She will also know that I also have a child. To boast. To use it to boast. No. Her motive then will be wrong. She said, I will give this boy back to you. Take away my reproach. But when you do that, this boy, I will return him to you. He will stay in your house forever. And for that child to stay in God's house forever, it's not going to be ordinary child. Don't be ordinary child. And God answered her. I gave her a boy and a prophet. She didn't ask for a prophet, but God had it to her blessing. God gave her more than her expectation. She got more than what she wanted. And that's the same way when God looked at the motive of Solomon, when God had Solomon to ask, What do you want? Ask me whatever you want. Solomon looked up and down and said, what am I going to ask? These your people, they are so great. How can somebody go in and out and be able to judge them right? For somebody to do that, he needs wisdom. Please give me discerning heart to know the difference between right and wrong when matters of these people come before me, so that I will be just in my judgment. And God was pleased with that. That was the only thing he asked. Because God saw his motive. You see, usually when people go to God and they ask for one thing, and God sees that their motives and objectives are correct with his word, he gives them more than what they ask for. We have seen Anna. We have seen Solomon. So let's watch our motives. Let's watch our objectives as we present our request before God. God sees your mind. He sees your motive. He sees your objective. Remember these people that Abraham had a vision and showed them that there is oil in this place. They use their mouth to say, oh, it's to God's glory. But Abraham said it here. He said, but it was for themselves. And that was why they lost it.
Will we bow our heads? And let's talk to the Lord. Louder in heaven than our voices. So he sees what goes on in our mind. This is it. Jesus Christ's name we have prayed. I'll ask our pastor to pray for us. If you know you have a need of God based on this little exhortation tonight, won't you raise your hand and ask God, help me, Lord.
Our blessed Heavenly Father, we are grateful to you for sparing our lives and guiding us to your house again this evening for the midweek service. We are very grateful because each time we come, you will never allow us to come and go back empty-handed at any time. The prophet says each time we come, he said that we go better or go worse. But you have always allowed us to go better because we know we are part and parcel of your program. There is no way your word will be read, a few comments will be passed, that it will not bring a blessing to us. This evening again, you have just spoken to us, the importance of checking our motives and objectives. And I request that we bring before you, and you cited some examples in the scriptures. Father, there is no way, Lord, that we will not let one or two things out of those things that have been spoken. Our hands are up everywhere. That is why we come to your house. Because we know each time we come, you will do something for us. We pray, Father, that as we bring our requests, whether on our knees, on our own, in the family altar, whether in church, anywhere, may we, O God, may you guide us, may you help us to check our motives, to check our objectives. Guide us, O Father. Without you, we can do nothing. We're absolutely depending upon you to help us. May you continually be our help in all aspects of our lives. Whatever our needs might be, again tonight, has made some of us to raise hands. Would I didn't even raise hands, because you know everything, including the thoughts of the heart of everyone. Lord Jesus, nothing can be hidden from you. You know all what our needs are. Meet us at the point of our needs. Grant our desire, grant our requests, Lord. Bring them to manifestation, turn them to testimonies for your glory and for your honor. Thank you, Father. Bless and replenish your servant that you have used, while we leave the rest of the service in your hands, that you continue to bless us, Lord. Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen.
God bless you. Let's listen to this written request from Sister Dorcas Johnson. Thanksgiving and prayer request.
Oh, helping us to the end of the service. We believe, you believe God has answered your prayer. He will give us testimony to his own glory. Let us sing from 3:3, Rock of Ages, clap for me, before I was second stanza, then I will hand over. Give us again, it's too slow.
Let us bow our heads. Gracious Father, we thank you very much for making a way for us to be in service for this midweek. We thank you for the blessings we have received, Lord, both in the time of preaching and also the privilege to commit our requests unto you, both the written ones and the ones we have already on the slide. We bless your holy name for the entire blessing of the service. We ask that the Holy Spirit will bury these things deep in our hearts. Lord, that it will be of benefit and blessing to us as we travel along this journey. Lord, we ask, O God, the request that we have laid at your feet, may you give us faith and put expectation in our heart, as you know that you are not a disappointment. You are God that heareth and answereth prayers. Help us to know, O God, that you are not a failure, and that what we have asked you, you will definitely reply us back. Thank you, dear Father. Thank you for bringing your servant from his trip. Thank you, God, for the period of his stay there, Lord, and the blessing was to the brethren back there, and the success he also had in his secular work seminar. We are grateful unto you for everything. Lord Jesus, we remember your servant that has gone to Sapele. We pray you'll be with him. And Lord, see him through and bless, make him a channel of blessing constantly, Lord, to the church, Lord, where you have made him a shepherd of. When we'll be coming back, this will grant him joining my sister also. Lord, we want to thank you, God, for some of your children that have believed at this time. We ask, O God, that you be their comfort and be their strength, dear Father. Lord, may you guide them, O God, on every step to take at this period. Grant this is their Father. Lord, we want to commit the rest of the week into your hand. We ask that your grace will guide us and protect us and bless every day and every step that we take may be ordered by you. Lord, the weekend is there. We ask for your grace and mercy. The seminar on Friday here may be a blessing to your people. Those that have journeys, may you be with us and protect us in our journeys. Thank you, Eternal Father. Very soon we'll be going back to our homes. We pray you take us home safely. Give us a peaceful and wonderful night rest. We ask, Lord Jesus, that when we wake up in the morning, we'll be strong and headed to the glory of your name. Thank you, Father. Strengthen your servant once again for the virtue that has left him and lead to the end of his ministry. Thank you, dear Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray with faith and thanksgiving. Amen. Praise the Lord. This note is reminding us about the seminar on the new tax reform on Saturday, which is fixed for 3 p.m. On Saturday, 3 p.m. Well, those who come by 3, they will get the full benefit of the program. May the Lord be our help. As I've said before, on Saturday I will take a short trip to Port Harcourt to be back on Monday by the grace of God. I covered your prayers. I put in the group yesterday evening, no, this morning, that yesterday late afternoon, the mother of Sister Taiwo Odunjo went to be with the Lord, and also later that night of yesterday, the mother of Sister Olaroye, the wife of Brother Stephen Ogu, also went to be with the Lord. There's been prayers for the two families that the Lord will be their comfort at this time and their strength. God bless you. I say, God bless you. Shall rise. Two. Take the name of Jesus with you. On Friday, we'll be listening to a tape. Thank you.
Name, oh, how sweet, oh, perfect.